When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gerard Mayo is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating the sexual health issues of men, with 5 New England offices, or at NortheastMen'sHealth.com, by Land Rover of Norwood, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Morning, Coach.
Creamy. And drains won't flow.
Yes, yes, you understand. I mean, the drains were flowing a little bit there heading into the end of that football game, and you just didn't you get it to overtime, you don't come away with the win.
Yeah, I mean that's disappointing. At the same time, I thought there were multiple situations that came up in the game, first half and second half, that I thought we executed well on. Going into overtime, I felt good about our chances, just didn't pull it out.
Drake May ends up being responsible arm and legs for 301 of your 315 total yards on offense. I think he's your lead rusher for 3 out of 4 games. You feel like you got to find a way to get that run game going to help him.
Absolutely.
Help him out a little bit.
Yeah, my son last night, like, Dad, what's wrong with the run game? For me, it always starts up front, and we talk about the mentality and things like that. And us as coaches, we're in the solution business, and we just got to find out a way to get Ramondre and Gibby and Hasty, those guys, an opportunity. Because we can say whatever we want. Like, we couldn't get those guys started. The first half, we were under 1 yard a carry, and the second half, we still were under 1 yard a carry. So we just had to do a better job.
When you sent Drake May the memo, did you bold that he needs to slide? Because I don't know if he got the message.
Look, this guy, he's a competitor. He's also a rookie, and he's trying to make plays. He's trying to do what he thinks is best to help the team win, and I appreciate that. And at the same time, we have to make sure that he's protecting himself.
Being a rookie, though, and being able to continue in the way in which he likes to play the game, him saying after the game, I'm not going to change the way in which I play, even though I went out into concussion protocol. Does that speak to him being young, or is that just a guy who's going to play the game of football the way in which he wants to be to play it and not be worried about any type of injury or anything that could come his way?
Yeah, he's a competitor. He's a competitor, and I think as he continues to progress, he'll second-guess some of those hits that he's taken, but at this time, he just wants to help the team win, and I appreciate that.
Gerard, one of the things that I noticed yesterday is that you were very upset about another penalty. You're like middle of the pack. Through the first 4 weeks of the season, you guys are in like the top 5.
Yeah.
What's going on with, it seems like, consistently just sloppy, stupid penalties? And at one point, like I said, it was a point where you were upset. What do you think the issue is that you're still having these penalty issues?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with all the penalties that are called. Uh-huh. I'm saying that. For the NFL, I am not criticizing the referee.
Right. You ain't talking.
But what I will say, I thought, we talk about the referee crew the night before every game. We knew that, this was a high penalty calling crew. The Titans had more penalties than we did. I would say, even on the Polk holding call, I thought that was a little bit soft, but they called it. Even the Polk not being set, that's on the quarterback. And again, the quarterback has to make sure everyone's set. But those are the little things, the growing pains that we continue to go through. But we just have to be better.
Gerard, the final play of regulation, unbelievable extension of the play by Drake May, and then the extra point. What was the thought process in not going for two, and how was that executed? Is it you're saying on the splitter, we're going for the extra point? Is there a conversation while the drive's unfolding? Should you score, we have a two-point play ready to go. How did that all unfold?
We always stay ahead of the game, and that conversation happened long before the 12-second play. And again, you know, I thought that was the best thing to do for our team. And honestly, you know, either way, unless you execute the play, you'll be criticized. Like, we go for two, and we don't get it a couple games ago, and this time we kicked the extra point, and I felt good. I felt like that was the right thing to do. So it's not like I'm stuck anyway. I think, you know, there's a combination of things that go into that decision, and ultimately it's my decision, and that's what I decided to do.
And Gerard, it's interesting you say that, because we as fans, we play, you know, we're playing the Madden game. Go for two, go for two. But you're playing the game in reality of, like, by kicking the extra point gives us the best chance of winning this football game. I know we talked about, like, the statistically, and that's, I feel like, it's proven on paper that kicking the extra point gives you the better chance of going in overtime, you know, if you can win the toss. Is that the mindset that you had? Like, this is gives us the best chance. We're not playing some fantasy football here. Well,
but you just said the ifs. I mean, you have to win the toss. I mean, the odds.
Right.
You know.
We didn't win the toss.
Right. Do you get analytics on that, or are you making?
We always look at analytics, and I would say we also have discussions at a time of peace, and that time of peace being in a room with the coordinators, going through multiple situations, and then you get into the game. You have to remember the things that you talked about, also taking into account the flow of the game and what's actually going on. So, you know, I think a lot of people think, you know, when you say analytics, that coaches are just sitting there with a book and it's like, whoa, this is 55%. You know, like, this is what we got. This is what we should do. No, like the weather, like analytics, they don't take the weather into account. It doesn't take the flow of the game into account. I think there's so many different variables that you have to kind of go through it. I will say this as a staff. I thought, you know, we had a play ready to go. I thought we stayed ahead of the game. And, I mean, for me as a head coach, I can't ask for anything more from my staff.
Is there a belief, though, that as a former player, going for it there is saying, I believe in you, Drake. I believe in this offense. I'm going to lose, win or lose, with these guys with one play from the 3-yard line?
I think Drake will tell you it's not about just Drake. It's about what's best for the team. And that's what that's how I look at it.
Going back to just Drake, though, his turnovers, do you put that on him being so young, or is that something that he just needs to work on? It's a Drake problem, not a rookie problem.
No, I mean, look, I mean, he's trying to make plays out there, and, I mean, that comes with it. It's the same thing when we talked about, you know, guys breaking tackles and having issues holding onto the ball. Like, you love a guy that breaks tackles, but at the same time, you're more susceptible to, you know, those type of plays. And look, I'm not going to try to change the way he plays. I look forward to seeing the way he continues to develop. And in saying that, I'm sure the turnovers and things like that will become less and less. And I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that you'll see, like, you know, moving forward with his ability, like he's proven that he can run? You say the running game's kind of stumbled a little bit. Maybe adding him into that as far as more of a design runs for him to kind of maybe confuse the defense a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a great point. And, again, I would say it's easy to sit in here and say that, yet at the same time, we have a guy freshly out of the protocol that we're just sitting here telling them to run out of bounds and slide, but then we'll put in quarterback design runs. I mean, right. it's a tough conversation.
On the protocol, so did he have a concussion, or is the protocol also for seeing if you did or if you didn't? If does that make sense? Like, do we know that he indeed had a concussion?
That made no sense to me. So you asked me, did it make sense? And it doesn't. I will say this.
Did he get a concussion?
Listen, this is what I would say. The NFL called down. He was put in a concussion protocol. He cleared the concussion protocol and played for us.
So we don't know if he had a concussion or not.
He was in the concussion protocol. That's the question for, I guess, the league.
Yeah. So the team doesn't know if he has a concussion?
He was in the concussion protocol. I'm not going to keep going back and forth on this.
No, I'm just curious because it was quick. I didn't know that he was going to be in there. So if he didn't indeed have one, it would make more sense.
Yeah, they put a spotter, an NFL spotter, called down. They said, all right, we believe he may have a concussion. They placed him in the concussion protocol. He cleared those hurdles and was able to play. Like, those guys are way smarter than me as far as concussions are concerned, so I don't know.
Wiggy's our concussion expert.
He's had a few.
I think, you know, that's the, it's all, they're all different, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because
you had one?
I've had multiple, right?
Don't put me in that bucket. Don't put me in that.
I mean, I don't know. I guess the independent doctor, I guess it's so difficult because now when we, or at least when I played, I can't, like I said, I can't really talk when you played, but when I played, there wasn't this independent doctor. It was like more of like, oh, I'm good.
Self-diagnosis.
And then, you know, right. where now it's completely taken out of your hand.
That's right.
And so even if he passes during the game, then it's up to the team to make the decision on whether or not we want to put him back in there. Is that how it works nowadays?
Well, if he passes, if we think he gives us the best chance to win and they clear him on the field, he's going
okay.
right back in.
Okay. All right.
Does your week?
Jacoby Brissett keeps trying to put him back in there.
Does your week change at all this week with the trade deadline tomorrow? Like, does it, you guys talk about plans a lot. What is the plan going into tomorrow's trade deadline?
I think first. Look, this isn't baseball. And in baseball, you know, you have big-name players going to other teams. Like, I would say historically, even as a player and now as a coach, the trade deadline is a bunch of hype. It's a bunch of hype. Like, who's going to move a starting quarterback to another team right now? Who's going to move a starting left tackle? I mean, it rarely happens.
Gerard, you had that situation at halftime, and we were kind of talking about this. It was 2nd and 1. And we're always trying to figure out, like, the input and everything.
2nd and 1 and 3rd and 1, you got to be able to pick up a
football. Right. Well, I guess the question I'm asking is that 2nd and 1 point, do you jump on the headset and say, hey, let's maybe take a shot here, we want to get some points, or are you just, like, kind of letting Alex do what you think is best that he can do for the offense?
Whatever unit's out there on the field, I'm on that channel.
Okay.
And I let Alex know what I want to do, and we'll have, you know, sometimes we have conversations, and again, we try to stay ahead of the game, and we talk through those things.
Okay.
But again, I would say ultimately, like, look, it's my choice.
Hellman's Mayo question of the week for Gerard Mayo. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. This is from the Subaru of New England text line. Just I'll sum it up. Another great return on the punt yesterday. Yeah. And how important is that from a motivation point of view for this football team?
It's huge. And, you know, we challenged the special teams unit to go out there and make plays, and they did. Marcus is doing a heck of a job. I think he's leading the league in punt return average. And, you know, it's not just him. It's the guys that are out there blocking for him.
All right.
Works for me.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. On to Chicago.
Now we got to wrap this up. We got to wrap up Tennessee, make some corrections, and then we'll be. It's about New England. It's about the Patriots today, and then tomorrow we'll move on.
How much did you look at Caleb Williams? Obviously, everybody kind of assumed he was going to go number one, but
when you clapped your hands, I thought I was about to be over.
Well, I was just. You mentioned the Bears. I'm curious about
bonus,
your thoughts on Caleb Williams.
It's like what the police do.
It's bonus credit.
Look, Caleb Williams, you know, coming out. I think we all agreed he's one of those guys that can make all the throws, extend plays, and can make spectacular plays, and. You know, they'll be a challenge for us.
Devon Godchow called Drake May Josh Allen 2.0. You agree with that assessment kind of comp-wise?
I call him Drake May 1.0. I don't want to get into comparisons of, you know, look, Josh Allen's a multi-year Pro Bowl quarterback, and we're here at the beginning stages of a developing quarterback that I think we're all excited about.
Yeah. All right. Great. Thanks, Coach. Conversation with the Coach brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. And we are at Gillette Stadium. You can go do your We're going to talk about you after you leave.
I'm going to see if we can find the Nuggets.
Yeah,
Wiggy, take a picture of your sheet. So.
Yeah, I mean, did you, from a Nugget perspective, did you end up with any? I mean.
More clarification on going for two, not going for two. It was decided beforehand, and they went with what they planned.
I am fascinated by this protocol thing. I just, the more ambiguous it gets, the more interested in it I become. Like, so, I don't even know how that. I've never had a concussion that I know of. I mean, I was dropped many times as a baby, but like, I don't understand what the protocol means. Who is implementing it? How you grade out of it? What you know? Like, is to me.
Well, Greg's talked about how you grade out of it. Like, there's steps that you have to pass, and
are you talking about the in-game protocol?
I think the whole thing.
I think what you're saying is. It seems like there is somebody, there were some bodies watching every single hit, and if one looks like it's going to be detrimental to the league. They want to make sure that they get that player out and identified. But I assure you
there are players that exhibit similar symptoms as a quarterback on half the plays in the NFL, and those players are not taken out of the game and put into protocol, if that makes any sense. And so what is – this is a really slippery slope for a big game 2 weeks from now. The Chiefs are in Buffalo, right?
Mm-hmm.
That game likely will decide who hosts the AFC Championship and who gets the only bye in the AFC. Massive implications. What's to say Josh Allen does one of the Josh Allen runs, gets dinged in his head, and it's, you know, 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter of a tie game, and all of a sudden he's out the rest of the game.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, see, that's the interesting part, because that's what I was kind of asking him about. Did he clear concussion protocol in the Jets game? And then it's up to the team to make the decision if they want to keep on playing him. Or does he not clear it in the game, and that's why he's done for the game? Because we saw Davante Adams. We saw Josh Allen several weeks back, where their symptoms were a lot worse than Drake May. Like, we didn't even know about Drake May because he went in a couple more plays.
Right.
So that independent doctor who's up there, if we can't tell, what's he see that makes him stay, keep my eyes on this guy, and then say to somebody, hey, check this guy for a concussion, versus when you see like a Josh Allen or
Patrick Mahomes,
Davante Adams, you like instantly know, get him in protocol, go through it. Oh, he passed. He's good to go
back.
Well,
wasn't
in the
game. When he was on the sideline and Drake was talking to other players on the team, and maybe that's where.
But who, the independent doctor's not on the sideline,
right,
though, right? He's upstairs.
No. Yeah.
Well, there's somebody on the sideline,
right,
in the blue tent, yeah, that's there. That's a spotter that's on the field. There's multiple
people.
Oh,
so there's a spotter upstairs and a spotter on the field?
Yeah.
See, I don't know, because that's
what. That's what the broadcast says.
Yeah.
And they're probably like Al Jazeera, so
like,
I don't know
so,
if they're being honest.
Well, that's why I said with Gerard, I don't, like, nowadays it's completely different. I remember taking, like, a concussion test back in the day, but that was just to see, like, if you got one, where you were when you didn't have one versus when you take it. But now it's like you have all these in-game protocols that you have to me, that's the biggest thing. What are the in-game protocols? I'd love to know what they put them through to say, okay, he's good to go back out there.
And why can't you say he had a concussion if he had a concussion? Like, is that, to me, is an important, sorry, if we're talking about benchmarks, like, As a player, I'd want to know how many concussions I've had over the course of my career.
I think it's more he doesn't want to say.
Yeah, I'm like, sure Drake knows.
I don't think my guess is that they don't think he had a concussion.
Right, that's what I was trying to get at.
That's my guess, and that's why he was able to get through when it comes to those four steps or five steps to get back, why it went so quickly.
But my thing is, who does it hurt if the world knows he didn't have a concussion?
I don't know.
I get the other side. If he has something, and maybe you don't want the world to know about potential issues, but if he's cleared the protocol, the NFL doesn't want concussions. If you have this independent person that's seeing it and says that we thought he did, but he did not, then everybody
would
be happy.
Maybe he's saying he doesn't know, right? Because if you're...
Well, that's also scary if we don't even know how to diagnose
him. No, but that's what it seems like, right? If you're...
No, I think it hurts the doctor who put him in the protocol.
No, because I think the NFL looks good. They're being proactive. The Patriots won that game anyway.
Because it's getting your bell rung. That's why I said to him, like, we've kind of all had concussions. He's like, well, wait a second. I'm not saying... And I'm like, well, isn't a concussion like, yeah, you just get your bell rung and you're like in that part of it? But if that's not technically the term for concussion, if there's a different way to look at, you understand?
No, I don't think there's any different way to look at it. I think like they overreacted to the hit.
Right.
Put him in the protocol.
Because it looked bad.
I mean, and they're worried about if he's out there and he's, you know, doing a Tua or whatever,
totally.
that the league does not want you to see that on television.
That hit, you wouldn't even know that he had a Tua. When he got up, he was stumbling. Like, then you know, like, hey, we need to get, or he's out cold.
Right. Or like Edelman in Super Bowl
49. Yeah, like you're stumbling around and people are holding him up. With the Drake May one, no one would have, like, when he got hit, everybody was just like, oh, that's a dirty hit, that's a dirty hit. No one was thinking, like, potential concussion. That's why I guess I would love to sit down with an independent or just somebody and say, okay, this is what we view as a concussion. Getting your bell rung is not viewed in our minds, as, and I'm saying the professional, as a concussion.
Yeah. I mean, I just, anyway, I was interested in that. I also, my other nugget from Mayo, the desire to say he's in charge of everything at all times, from where I sit, is a little bit of an overcorrection, which strikes me that he doesn't have as much power as he would say. Like, that he's on every play call, that he's doing everything with AVP. Like, I agree that he could change a play. I definitely think he has that. But, like, I think Alex Van Pelt is calling the offensive plays.
I think it's a reaction, though, to people who are nitpicking and asking how much he's doing.
Right.
Right. No, I understand that. I just think that there's the way that final play unfolded and the decision to kick and the immediate reflection by Mayo with us that, you know, I went for two in Jacksonville and everybody was on me. It was, well, right. Well, that was the wrong time to do it. It doesn't mean that you can never go for two again.
That's why I asked him on the second and one. Does, you know, like, all right, in that situation, the second and one right before halftime, you got some timeouts in your pocket. That's a great time to take a shot. Is he saying, hey, Alex, take a shot here, and if not, we'll go with something safe on third down and try to continue to move the ball and get points? And he was like, well, you know, when I say what I want to do, I got the right, and that's what we're going to do. So that's, I guess that's all I'm saying. Not that you don't have the right to say, but I'm saying, are you making recommendations in that point?
Right. All right, our conversation with Gerard Mayo, brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. You'll hear what Drake May has to say coming up this afternoon on the afternoon show. It's a Patriots Monday. We will be right back from Gillette Stadium.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.